Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast. I'm Joel Johnson. Today, it's a pretty fun podcast. It is the Friends Podcast. There are a lot of news, so why not do a Friends Podcast? And I'm joined by an MRU student, Mackenzie.
Hi.
So now we'll start talking some Friends. So how did you start watching Friends? I think that's the best place to start. How did you get involved in this crazy universe that involves six weird people?
So my first memory of Friends, I think the first episode I ever saw was Monica and Chandler's wedding when they found out Rachel was pregnant. And I had known nothing about the characters, or like I was really young, so I didn't really even know anything about pregnancy. And I remember thinking that there had to be a way for all these people to know each other. So I wrote a script for Friends, and it was how they all met, and they all met in high school in my version. Of course, then I watched the show more, and I learned that there was all a connection to it. But that was the first thing I ever really wrote, and now, as you know, I'm a writer. So that's kind of was a big moment.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. That was definitely, like, I think for me, when it was just seeing, like, my parents watching these episodes, and them howling with laughter watching it, and going, what are they laughing about? What's there? And then sitting down and watching, and just kind of seeing, and being like, this is fantastic. This is great half-hour television. And there's nothing better than this. So just really getting kind of sucked into the world, and, it's that world that you want to write for, you want to be in. So like for you, you got to sit there, and it kind of got your creative.
No, but I get what you're saying. I remember watching the episodes and thinking like, how is this all only in like 30 minutes, especially with commercial breaks? So much would happen in like a short amount of time that it was crazy to think only 30 minutes had gone by.
Yeah, like I go back to one of my all time favorite episodes when the guys won the one with the embryo, where the guys win the apartment, and all happens in half an hour.
Yeah, and there's so many storylines in that one too, because you got the whole Phoebe aspect of it when she's about to get pregnant with her brother's kid, right?
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot going on in just 30 minutes. It was insane that they could do it, but they always did it so well.
Oh yeah, and it was always like, I will admit, as I've watched later seasons, you can definitely see that there's a little bit of a drop-off in ideas and ways to do things. But even so, it still had a very good foundation of writing, where you just go like, hey, this is fun, I'm gonna check this out. And even when the episodes are like, they're not as good as some of the older ones, but it's so hard to maintain that momentum. Like, it's like, wow, they just we're able to accomplish so much in so little time, and it's crazy how tied up you get into that world, because you can go through episode after episode and be like, holy crap, I can't believe how much time's passed and how much growth there are in all these characters.
But no, I know what you mean. Like, I usually go to bed when I'm watching it, and that way, like, you can kind of fall asleep and you still understand, like, what's happening. Like, the storylines aren't overly complex, but they're still engaging to watch. Like, you can still tune in when you want to.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that it doesn't matter what episode's on TV, because they're in syndication, so Friends episodes pop up everywhere. But it doesn't matter which episode, which season, you can just jump in and go like, oh, this is fantastic. But I think both of us started off, like, it's one of those shows that grab your attention. Would it, now with the announcement of the reunion, and obviously fans have been waiting for this forever, like, I know anytime there's some sort of announcements, like, is it a Friends reunion? What'd you think of when you first heard?
I didn't believe it. There have been so many false rumors that it was kind of hard to, like, actually think of it as a real thing. I had to Google it a bunch, and then I didn't even, like, message you to tell you until I was 100% sure of it. And now finding out that it's just going to be a documentary and that Matthew Perry isn't going to be there, it is a little upsetting, because I don't know how great it's going to be if all six of them aren't there.
I think that's one of the things, is I think there was that really initial hype where it's a reunion and everyone's kind of thinking, oh, is it going to be 2 hours? Is it going to be half an hour? What is it? Is it going to be a Thanksgiving episode? And then you kind of, that disappointment kind of keeps rolling in a little bit. Well, it's going to be this. It's going to be a documentary, and Matthew Perry's not going to be there, which I'll argue is one of probably the best Friends characters of the six.
Yeah, I was thinking of that the other night. He's kind of the reason they all know each other, too.
Yeah, he between him and Joey, I always believe Joey was that moral compass that always kind of kept everyone kind of grounded and going in the right direction. He was very much kind of like a child at heart, and it was kind of like without Matthew Perry, who is the comedic, was really a comedic gold every time he was on screen. It just feels like it's gonna be the five of them, and it's gonna be like, it definitely kind of, I think I've safely satisfied with, the series is done. I don't think we'll ever get a full-blown
No, I let
reunion.
go of that a long time ago. And a part of me doesn't even want it anymore. Like, if you take a look at some of them, I met Courteney Cox when I was in. Can you still hear me?
Yep.
Oh, I met Courteney Cox when I was in Hawaii. It was like 5 years ago. And she doesn't even look like Monica anymore. It's like they can't do it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things is they are older, and I think they all have a different things in life now. They've all got different friends was a nice part of their life, but now it's become where it's that thing that they did in the 90s that made them all famous, and now they're off doing other things and they're enjoying life, and I can't fault them for it. I know there are some fans out there like, we need a reunion, we need a reunion. Well, no, you don't, because it's really up to the six of them and the creators of this show. I don't think enough can be said about the creators, because they're all very smart in how they wrote it. How I've read plenty of articles where they would control what happened in the show. They're micromanaging in a way, but in a good way, where they just kind of meticulously went through everything because they didn't want to have any storylines or any plots that just didn't fit in the show, because there were some crazy ideas pitched out there, and they are just never they shot them down instantly. The only one that they kind of let slide was Joey falling in love and Rachel, and that
That
was
never made sense. That
that
was always just so ridiculous to me. I didn't get it.
it was one of those, like, when it first popped up, I kind of got it as, okay, it's this little storyline where Joey develops feelings, because being living with Rachel, yeah, okay, I can see that, being in close quarters with her all the time, and her being Rachel, and Joey kind of like a male seeing her is like, she's attractive, so I can see that playing out for a little bit. But season, what was it? Season 10, where they started it off with the two of them together, and Ross has his freak out and keeps saying the word "I'm fine" in different pitches. Just didn't click. Like that little chunk always kind of was like, can I skip over this? 'Cause it's just, I don't like it.
See, it didn't click. I get that. But that scene, no matter when I watch it, it's always like it will make me laugh no matter how many times I see it.
Oh yeah,
And
and
also, I think it reaffirmed that Ross will always love Rachel, which kind of connects to the last episode of season 10 that they
yeah,
end up together.
and that's true. And even the creators had come out and said that sometimes friends fall in love, and it's not all Monica and Chandler.
Yeah, exactly. It was bound to happen. There's even that one episode when they do a flashback and Ross and Phoebe almost get together. Like,
Yeah.
doesn't end up happening, but there was that because it would happen. That's a natural thing.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Like that's a great. I completely forgot about that. That there was that moment where, and you kind of saw that episode where they all almost kind of connected in different ways. Where Chandler almost connected with Rachel, which obviously would have caused a lot of problems.
Oh, him and Monica never would have got married.
Yeah, and then the Joey, how he first introduced himself to Monica, which is always a good Joey moment. It
Well,
go on.
did you know that they were supposed to be the main love story?
Yeah, I'd heard that. What would you have thought of that being the Monica and Joey, based on the characters that we knew over 10 years? What would that have been like, do you
I
think?
really don't think it would have gone as far as Monica and Chandler would have. And the thing about Monica and Chandler's relationship was that was never supposed to go past them just like secretly doing it.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be them like secretly doing it, and then they were going to just continue on with their lives. But it just was a natural progression. I think if it had been Monica and Joey, that it would have ended right away, and it would have kind of torn the group apart because I don't think Chandler would have stayed friends with Monica.
No, I think there would have been, I think there's, when you kind of always look at it, you kind of see in previous episodes, there were always kind of little hints, like very small, subtle, just naturally how the characters kind of flowed and moved. They were always seemed kind of cross each other's paths in such a way that you're like, oh. Now looking back on it, you can kind of see like a little breadcrumb trail leading towards.
Yeah, I do see that in some episodes. Like, there's a scene when Ross and Rachel are currently dating, and they come in and like they kiss each other, and then Joey turns to Monica. Like, Ross and Joey had been out doing something, I forget what it was. And so it kind of seems like Ross and, not Ross, Joey and Monica are about to kiss, but then they don't. And there's like a joke said, but I forget what it is.
Yeah, like, and I don't think, and this is probably one of my bigger, I guess, gripes looking back at the 10 seasons is Joey was so underdeveloped as a character, but you look at Chandler and Monica, they had such growth from when they first started to where they arrived. That whole build up towards that engagement and build up towards that wedding, you saw Chandler become a different character in a lot of ways. He still had the same core values, but he became someone a lot more mature and a lot more adult-like.
Exactly. And I think Monica helped him grow that way. And I think he helped her grow a little bit too, because in the first couple seasons, she's kind of like one of her main storylines is that she dates losers. And then, like, the first joke on the show, even, they're like, oh, what's wrong with this guy now? And so she always dated losers. And then Chandler, who was supposed to be like the dorkiest guy, turned out to be the best guy for her.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting point because she goes out with that one guy. That yeah, in the first episode, she goes out with one guy, and it turns out he's a total doorknob, and it that was the definitely the first kind of planting the seeds. I think it was planting the seeds for Joey, and then it just kind of shifted to Chandler. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
because the thing that bugs me the most about Monica's character, because she's definitely one of my favorite characters, is in season 10, it's kind of like her character got lost completely, and she's mostly just about having babies and being like that OCD kind of lifestyle. When you look in the first season, she had a really developed character, and she kind of like grew up from that, obviously.
Yeah, I think season 10 Monica was kind of a reverting back to what she used to be in the first episodes, where some of the development that they'd done with her, and like when that whole baby craze, but throughout the years, it wasn't that much. But I guess maybe you can make the argument that she was at a certain point where it was now or never for her. So maybe that was it, but I definitely agree that there was a step back with Monica, and season 10's so hard because you got to think this is our last year. You got to wrap it up. You got to try to wrap everyone's storyline up, and you can feel that there's a little bit more. Okay, we got to get going a little bit quicker than we like, but we got to get to the infinite finale. What'd you think of the finale?
I think with the finale, the one thing that I've always been super. Are you still on? Okay. The one thing I've always been super hesitant about was there was just all of a sudden this rush that Ross wanted to be with Rachel. Like, that entire season, they hadn't really talked about it. And then all of a sudden, he was like, wait, I'm in love with her, which was a really great thing because obviously they have to end with them being in love.
Yeah.
But there had been no lead up to it.
Yeah, you know, I think there's definitely one of the things that I find with TV series and someone who likes thinking about the plots for TV shows and how it's written and how they kind of do it. It definitely suddenly kind of you feel like the writers just want to turn the switch on Ross again and go, "Oh, he needs to be with her at the end." So, let's just turn that switch on. I think it would've been nice to see that build up of maybe Ross thinking of ways to try to get back with her and just seeing if he can make things work and having suddenly that job pop up for Rachel and she's thinking about going and it's confusing and then that ultimate build up to that finally that moment and it's an iconic moment when she gets off the plane.
Oh yeah, that was a huge deal. And actually, it was a great moment. And I know what you're talking about, how it was a flip switch. And they did that to Rachel a bit too, when Ross was getting married to Emily, because there had been no lead up to her being in love with him that whole season. She was actually dating Joshua, and then all of a sudden he was getting married, and she was like, shit, I need to be up with him again and go stop this wedding.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that like if there had been there was always little hints, but it was never consistent enough to build up towards something. I think they kind of wanted some things to be a bit of a surprise. So when that moment when you're sitting there watching Ross get married to Emily and you're thinking, well, this is the end of Ross and Rachel, and then he says Rachel's name, it's a little bit more shocking, like, holy crap, holy crap. What'd you think of that episode? Like, what'd you think of Emily as a character? Because I've always heard kind of mixed things on her.
I hate her as a character, but on the other hand, if that happened to me at my wedding, I would have reacted the same way. I would have reacted worse. I wouldn't have gone married and left. Like, the fact that she stayed with him, I think, was a really big deal. But her asking him not to see Rachel anymore makes sense. Like, obviously, we hate it because we love Rachel and we love Ross, but it does make sense because that was a really terrible thing to have happen.
Yeah, and it definitely kind of, I guess it showed that Ross was just rushing off. I think that whole, like, if you look at it kind of from a real life perspective, it was Ross rushing off into something where it's like, Ross, I don't think you should do that, but all right. And I totally agree with you. Like, when Ross said that, and then Emily had those requests, it makes sense because obviously that trust and that commitment didn't start off with the greatest thing. So to ask for that is a big deal, but it makes sense because you know the history between Ross and Rachel, and you know that it goes all the way back to that prom video back in the 80s where Ross is going to come in and rescue Rachel. And just it I get where Emily's coming from, but as a character, I felt she was just kind of thrown in to kind of get things going again with try to get
Yeah.
things. It was very much it was start and stop with Rachel for a long time, and it kind of got annoying at some points for sure, because it's like just kiss already, just stop it. This is annoying. Just do it already. I feel like there was also a lack of communication between the two of them. They wouldn't talk. They'd just be kind of like, oh, well, I'm mad at him. I'm mad at her.
That was the problem with their entire relationship, and it's something that Monica and Chandler fixed. They fixed on their own relationship. There's even one episode where Monica says, "I don't believe in soulmates. I believe that me and you are in love, and that we work out a relationship, and that we communicate with each other." And which is why I think they're the better couple over Ross and Rachel, because they wouldn't just fight at each other; they would talk.
Yeah, because even when they would have fights where Chandler would do something or Monica would do something that it would be like, oh, that was kind of a boneheaded move, they would work it out. And I think that was one of the biggest things I guess you can take from, I guess Ross and Rachel are kind of like a fairy tale, and Monica and Chandler are real life.
So I think that was the main thing. And they do it on How I Met Your Mother a little bit too, because Lily and Marshall, that's not a relationship that would be realistic. You wouldn't meet someone on the first day and fall in love, nor would you fall in love with the person you were in love with in high school. Like, that's just not a believable thing.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that I think, like, a lot of people, and I get it, and it's a great story. It's that story of if you're really meant to be with someone, it'll happen. But I don't think, like, 'cause Ross and Rachel are two different people from what they were in high school to what they are now. And it's one of those things where you see that they grow and they mature, and then finally everything clicks. But in a lot of times in life, you grow and mature, and then you find someone that's more suitable for you later on. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, but I think Chandler and Monica kind of just grew into each other. It just kind of naturally happened, and it just naturally clicked. Like, they're very, at their core, they very much stuck together and worked together more than Ross and Rachel.
Exactly. They helped each other grow. Whereas I think the main problem where Ross and Rachel didn't work out in the beginning is because Rachel was trying to grow. She was trying to start her career. She was on a new path. And Ross kind of already had his career. Like, he knew what he wanted out of life. And she didn't yet. She didn't even know she wanted to have kids. And that's where I think why they broke up, really. Well, he did cheat on her. But why they first broke up, because she was growing up and he had already grown up.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, that was the next thing I was going to talk about, was that big breakup, because that was a big moment. You knew realistically it had to happen to keep the series going
Going.
forward.
Yeah.
It's just like the breakup from The Big Bang Theory between Leonard and Penny. You knew it had to happen to keep progressing for an overall story arc, but you knew they were going to get back together. But what did you think when you first saw that breakup episode?
Now, are you talking about the breakup when she says we should go on a break, or the breakup when they're finally like, she's like, I can't believe you cheated on me. We're done. We're never gonna be together.
Let's start from the first little we need to take a break
We need to take a
to and
break.
then move through there. So
I was very so much Ross when I was watching that, even like when he says, yeah, like let's go take a break, let's go get some frozen ice cream. I thought that's what she was talking about. I thought she wanted just to take a break from the fight. I didn't think she meant like let's take a break on a relationship. Granted, I was pretty young the first time I would have seen that. But I knew they were going to end up together still, though, even in that moment, because they weren't fighting because they didn't love each other. They were fighting because they loved each other.
Yeah, and that really became such a slippery slope because you look at Ross was feeling neglected, and Rachel was feeling like Ross didn't trust her because of that mic. And to Ross's credit, he was right about that. I think his name's Mike.
It's not Mike, but I can't think of it either. I was going to correct you, but then I realized I did not know his name either.
What's his name? I'm it's gonna stick it's gonna bug me now. It'll probably pop up. But it was the guy from his her office. And
Yeah, and he comes back later in the series too to give her the Paris job, which
yeah.
really is just a symbol for like his whole character. He always comes in just kind of like to put a problem in their relationship.
Yeah,
Because if
he
she hadn't gotten that job offer, Ross wouldn't have realized that he loved her.
Yeah. And that's another thing, and I think that he was there. Like a lot of people, like he's kind of that villainous role that is very kind of sneaky, and you kind of think, oh, is he slimy? Is he good? I don't know. Oh, we'll wait and see. But he definitely plays an instrumental role in them breaking up and getting back together, and ultimately finally getting back together. But now Ross and Rachel take a break, and Ross more or less cheats on her. That what do you think of like? How did you feel that was Ross? Like that was the Ross character that you kind of knew over the last couple of years doing that? Or did that feel kind of just like out of place in any way?
It did feel out of place. Now that you say that, I've never thought of it like that. But the thing is, he wasn't the type of guy who would do that because he had been cheated on. Carol cheated on him, right?
Yeah.
So he wasn't the type of character to do that because he knows how it feels. But then again, we all make mistakes. He had just had a fight with Rachel, and it did happen. Like, I'm not saying what he did was right, but it didn't seem out of place because people do go out of character in situations like that.
Yeah, because it definitely felt like I think thinking like trying to put myself in Ross's shoes, you kind of it's that shock of you had that thing that you've always wanted since high school, and now it's gone, and you're just totally wrecked. So yeah, you will kind of go off the wall and maybe not make the best choice possible. But I think it was a mistake. It was definitely one of those choices where we go back to Barney Stinson. No, not Barney Stinson. Oh, Ted from How I Met Your Mother. Nothing good comes after 2 a.m. And it was totally
After
the
2
same.
a.m.
Nothing good comes after 2 a.m. from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah,
It was totally this.
exactly.
It was totally that same thing where he went out and it was just a mistake to go out that late, and you could tell the Xerox girl was just looking for trouble too. Like
Oh,
she
yeah, and
didn't. Go ahead.
they were talking about her on earlier episodes, and I hadn't even realized they were talking about her. And Joey says something about how she's probably secretly crazy. And then it kind of proves it later. And I never noticed that until I rewatched it a few nights ago. And I was like, oh, they're talking about that character.
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things that Friends did so well was they had those little snippets that suddenly built up to something more, and then you're like, oh, okay, what's okay, like introducing the Xerox girl, and you're suddenly like, oh yeah, she's gonna break them up. Wow, I didn't expect them to be to introduce her and suddenly play such a big role in the series. And I guess it kind of shows life. You just don't expect certain people to suddenly pop up and cause a shockwave through your life like the Xerox girl did. Now, Ross and Rachel have broken up. They've had that whole fight. And then fast forward to the beach.
Right.
Where you see them kind of flirting together, but Ross is in a relationship. Now you're going to sit there and go, maybe that cheating things, maybe that's a little more of his character, because he kind of cheated on his new girlfriend, I guess you'd call her.
We don't know enough about that relationship. They went on dates, him and Bonnie. Like, it definitely wasn't as significant as him and Rachel's relationship. So I don't know if you count that as cheating, because I don't know if they were technically together.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those things where it's like, are they a big item? Are they not a big item? What's going on? And I think, you know, I kind of look at that episode and suddenly she has her head shaved bald and she's now bald as the moon. And I think that ultimately we all secretly wanted Ross to choose Rachel.
So
when they end on that cliffhanger, you're like, what room did he go in? What room did he go into? And it was revealed that he went into Rachel's room, wasn't it?
Like, on the next season, he does go into Rachel's room, yeah.
And then they get back together, and we think, oh, okay, this is how the rest of the series is going to go. They're back together now, and it's going to be eventually their wedding, and it's going to be stuff like that. It's not. That letter that she had him read, like, in Ross's defense, it was a late night.
Yeah, it was. I think it was so ridiculous of her to write that letter. Like, I feel like if she had, they did obviously need to cover stuff because obviously she still had strong feelings about what he did. But that night, you don't even, it's not like they had to do anything that night. They could have slept in separate rooms and she could have been like, we have stuff to talk about tomorrow. And then they could have talked about it.
No, and that's the one thing where it's kind of that, I guess it's that character mindset of not having a trust and once a cheater, always a cheater. Mm-hmm. You kind of, it definitely was done so that they could stretch this longer. And it makes sense that Rachel doesn't trust Ross. And Ross obviously has to earn it back. And I think both characters weren't exactly in a great headspace. One wanted to be right, I guess, with Rachel.
That was more it. It was who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah. And that's why that letter had to be written, and that's why I disagree with Ross not at least understanding, okay, I will at least admit fault that there was at least this was partially my fault, and we have stuff to work on. But the letter and expecting to have it read right away was really a crazy request to have, and it was kind of like, yeah, and that breakup, that final breakup is pretty funny. So I'm glad we got that at least, because that was a really good moment where you hear the really loud, we were on a break.
Yeah.
And that whole back and forth. To their credit, both of them had such great chemistry that it didn't matter what they were given, it just kind of worked.
Mm-hmm. It didn't matter if they were fighting or if they were madly in love, it always made sense.
Yeah. They always, you just always saw it and you're like, no, I'm totally buying into this. This totally makes sense. Just keep bringing me more. Now, there's one of the episodes I was watching last night, actually, where we first meet Phoebe's future husband, Mike. What'd you think of Mike, his introduction, kind of? Because he ultimately plays a big role because he becomes part of that six, that core group.
And he's he really does, yeah.
And he's one of the few characters that aren't part of that core that suddenly pop up and become a key member of that.
The thing I never realized about Phoebe's character until I got older is that she doesn't have a really long relationship. The longest relationship she has is with Gary the police guy. That was the longest relationship she ever had. So to have Mike come in and then them have randomly bring in Hank Azaria's character, who's what is his name? He's a scientist.
Oh, I know. Yeah, because he was the one that, because when I first started watching, I just wasn't sure who Phoebe, and I thought that's who Phoebe was going to end up with.
I did too a little bit. And Lisa Kudrow said in an interview that she would have rathered her character end up with him.
Yeah, I can see, 'cause there's a little bit more history, and the whole reason why they weren't together was because he had to go to Minsk, some place in Russia.
Exactly. But I think that's the thing. They didn't work out because he chose his career over her. Obviously, it was crazy for her to even think that he wouldn't, but
Yeah.
he did choose the career over her. And Mike would have given up anything to be with Phoebe. Like, I think he really did love her. And I
Yeah.
think that's where the final decision came from.
Yeah, and I think it, and I just, Paul Rudd came in and he just, even the first episode where Joey's sitting there walking in and he yells and he's looking for Mike because he panics and he tells Phoebe a name and he goes through his little black book and it's all women in there, and of course it's all women in there, and then he's looking through and he's like, "Where's Mike?" And then you just kind of feel that Paul Rudd kind of just fits into that group. And just even that first date when they're trying to play it off that they've known each other for years, and Mike's like, "We met each other in college," and Joey's shaking his head vigorously, "No, we didn't. No, we didn't, because I didn't go to college." He just really fit in, and I really, really enjoyed him. And I think he was a great complement to Phoebe's character. He kind of brought her back from the spaceship that she kind of lived in.
Yeah.
Because she was
I think
probably
that's
one of the more
the way to say it.
far out there, like with the her mother being in a cat, that storyline, she's definitely one of the ones that was a little bit more out of left field of the group.
Yeah, her character was definitely a strange one. And I think the most symbolic thing to prove that Mike did bring her down is throughout the entire series, she has 10 rings on her finger, and it's like her hippie kind of jewelry. But then once he proposes, there's that big scene when she has to take all the rings off at the restaurant,
Yeah.
and he puts on the one diamond ring. And then for the rest of the season, that's the only ring that she wears. And so I think it kind of makes her normal.
Yeah, it's finally kind of, 'cause I think that when we look back at Phoebe throughout all, she was really kind of, I guess you could say she was a side character at times. She was
Oh,
brought in to
definitely.
be that, that weird little hippie one that was in the group. But you, again, with one thing that I think we both talk about a lot is character development of everyone, and suddenly that Phoebe's grown to move beyond her mother's suicide, move beyond everything that's happened, because she had a lot of things thrown at her, and she finally got to a place where, she's normal, and but she's Phoebe normal. She'll never be that normal that society considers, but she's that normal Phoebe level where she's not going off the rails all the time. She's grounded again.
Yeah, she's happy.
Yeah. Well, it's been what, 12 years since the finale ended? 2004 was the final episode.
It was, and it's been like 22 years, I think, since the show started.
So it's been a long time, and it still leaves, it's left a culture impact. Like, you hear that Friends theme song, you know exactly what show you're talking about.
Exactly. I think one of the things that Friends did too, and this is such a funny story. The thing I love asking people is like, which Friends character do you think you are? Once I like find out that they've watched Friends, and I was hanging out with someone the other day, and he had seen Friends, but he didn't know which character he was, and I got so mad. I'm like, how do you not know that you're a Joey? Like, you're so clearly a Joey, and so I feel like that it left on people like you know which character you are, and you can relate to them so well.
Yeah, like I look at it as, you kind of sit there and you kind of identify with, you don't, you identify at all six at different points, but you ultimately identify with one character. Like, for me, I've always liked Chandler. Chandler's always the one that I'm a little bit more like, no, I draw to Chandler. Like, whenever it's a Chandler storyline, I'm interested in it, because I'm like, no, that's my guy. That's my horse in the race that I'm betting on. And who is your favorite character?
Growing up, my favorite character was Phoebe, and I remember at like Thanksgiving dinners and stuff, my mom would bring down her guitar and make me play Smelly Cat in front of all of our family members because I thought I was Phoebe. And I had really long blonde hair, and I was a vegetarian when I was like 10 years old. But now, as I got older, and you pointed out to me the other day that I kind of remind you of Monica and Rachel, I think Monica is my favorite character.
Yeah, there's definitely a few of those characters that you like, and you even start to like, you see some people and you're like, that person, you're like you said, that person's a Joey, or boy, that person's Ross. and can sometimes mean a negative aspect. I think the other thing that Friends did really well, they had a really good six main characters, but they had a really good supporting cast at times. And one of my favorite characters, because she's so tied to mine, Janice. Just anytime she
Yes.
pops up, it's like this is gonna be fun, because you know she's going to disrupt Chandler's life, sending him to Yemen. I still
One
remember
of my
that.
favorite episodes, yeah.
I remember sitting there going, he's not going to go to Yemen. He's actually going to Yemen for a little bit to get away from Janice. Yeah, I could see that. She definitely was one of those characters that were a side character that was always good to bring in for a couple episodes. Not to have her a permanent member, because I don't think she had enough depth to her character. It was always
Yeah.
good to pop in there and just disrupt things and cause Chandler grief. Like when Rachel's in labor and she pops up and Chandler and Monica are making out, and suddenly they hear that laugh and they perk up and they're like, oh dear God. And that's one of my favorite Janice moments.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I think one of the great things about Janice and Chandler is that at one point he did love her, and she's the exact opposite of Monica in every single way. And I don't know if they planned it. Obviously, I don't think they would have from the start, but he works well with Janice and he works really well with Monica. But he kind of is his immature self with Janice and
Yeah.
he's his grown up self with Monica. And I think that's why I love the Janice character, and her laugh and her voice is also hilarious.
Oh yeah, because that you hear, that's a laugh that you recognize almost instantly. Like you know exactly who that is, and you're like, "That's Janice." Oh boy, what's gonna happen? No, and I totally agree with you. That's actually a great point. I never thought of that he was his immature self with Janice, and then he grew up, and he. It was like the training wheels for Monica.
Yeah, because she definitely wasn't someone he could just call every now and then, although that did happen a few times. She always wanted commitment, and that's what he was always so afraid of,
Yeah.
which is why I don't think he could ever fully commit to Janice.
What would you say is your favorite little side character that they've
Side
got?
character?
Yeah.
I do love Mike. Mike was my favorite, just for Phoebe. I did love him. Although I like Phoebe's brother too. Mine's Phoebe's brother.
Yeah,
I think that was just so great.
that was definitely a Phoebe storyline that worked. Like when you say that Phoebe gave birth to her brother's triplets, that kind of like for anyone that hasn't seen this, like what? What's going on? And then when you can actually explain, and it's perfectly normal to you and me when we talk about this, it's like, oh yeah, Phoebe gave birth to her brother's triplets. And it's just one of those things where if it's not in that Friends universe, then you're a little bit like, what's going on there? But because it's Friends, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, no, totally. Let it go. What do you think of Tom Selleck's character?
Richard, I think it's kind of like another Janice thing. Like when Monica was really young and she didn't really know what her type was, she worked with Richard. But then as she got older and she kind of like understood what she wanted out of life a little bit more, and Richard finally comes back and says, "Will you marry me?" and all that, they don't make sense anymore because she's a different person.
Yeah, and I think I definitely, I think that's kind of like you kind of enjoy the Richard character throughout his original run, and then when he comes in just before the big engagement scene, you kind of sit there and you kind of go, that's kind of scuzzy to do, 'cause that's another man's serious relationship that you're kind of stepping. You're kind of to me, he's stepping over some boundaries.
He definitely is. And I get that, like, he obviously wanted to try, but it's not even that he's like disrespecting Chandler. I think he's disrespecting Monica because she wanted all that with him when she was really young, and it would have made sense then. And
Yeah.
like, why couldn't he have loved her then?
Yeah. It seemed like in a lot of ways his clock went off, his biological clock, and it became panic mode and oh crap, I gotta try to get together with her. And it's definitely one of those moments where you kind of root for Chandler that much more. It's like, okay, please don't choose. Please don't choose Tom Selleck and his mustache. Please.
I don't think the show would have worked if she had chose Tom Selleck, because there's no way her and Chandler would have been able to stay for.
Yeah, because that would have destroyed that whole nucleus of the group. That would have shattered everything. Joey would have been a wreck.
Oh yeah, because he probably would have chose Chandler. Obviously, they're best friends, but like at the same time, he was really good friends with Monica too. They have some really great storylines together. So it's who do I choose? And I feel like the whole group would have been like that, especially Ross, because do I choose my sister or do I choose my like best friend?
Yeah, it's definitely that world now where you're kind of like, what side are they on? Where are they gonna choose? One of the characters we don't talk about enough. He's got blonde hair and he serves coffee.
Gunther.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
his love for Rachel that will never ever materialize, and every little failed attempt that he has, it's just funny every time he pops up and you're like. And he tries, and you're like, it's not gonna work, Gunther. I'm sorry. And then one of my favorite Gunther moments are when Joey accidentally proposes to Rachel, and Ross is getting muffins for Rachel, and Joey's like, hit me, you'll feel better. And he misses, and he punches the pole, and he turns around, and you see Gunther with the biggest smile possible, and you're like, that works. That because Gunther's furious at Ross because he got Rachel pregnant, and now he's inconsiderable. That was one of my favorite scenes from the whole series. That's definitely one of the
Yeah.
moments up there.
My favorite Gunther moment would be when Rachel and Phoebe are searching for Monica's Christmas presents, and they go down to the coffee house, and Phoebe's like, "Oh, I'll hit on Gunther because he's always been so in love with me." Like she thinks in love with her. So she tells Rachel to go hit on him because that'll like, oh, what does she say? She says something like, "That way I don't lead him on because he's so in love with me." So
Yeah.
Rachel goes up there and flirts with him. And he like almost passes out or something crazy.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's so overwhelmed that he just like doesn't know how to fully function and just collapses. That was good. There's a lot of really fun characters and a lot of fun storylines from this whole series. Like one of my other favorite really small characters is Eddie. He's
Eddie.
Chandler's new roommate when Joey moves out.
Oh, he only has like one episode, but it's a good one. He might
Yeah,
have two. Yeah.
he's got two episodes, and he's got the head that he got from Macy's that he uses as a dip.
Bowl.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and when he gets mad because he thinks that Chandler's sleeping with his ex-girlfriend, and he grabs the fish and puts it in his pocket and walks away, and just every time Chandler thinks he's gone, and he's like, Eddie just pops back up, and it's like, oh no, he's back. I loved how they got rid of Eddie too. They're like, he comes up and he's like, why is all my stuff out here? And he's like, I already have a roommate, sir. I don't remember you ever living here. And you see Joey and the crowd all cheers because Joey's back with Chandler. And it just Eddie's like, oh, maybe I didn't live here. Just showing how insane he.
Crazy he was, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of moments, but now let's look at the future. Let's go through each character and see where they are 12 years, 12, 13 years, 12 years later since the finale. And I think we have one character that we'll save for the end because
Right.
he's got there's a lot to talk about with him.
Yeah,
But
this wild card.
yeah. Let's start with my favorite, Chandler. Where is he right now?
I honest to God think that he quit his job, but like he's still married to Monica. They live out in the country, but he quit his job to be like the kind of stay-at-home dad. And he maybe like just writes a joke column for the local newspaper or something. But is just totally involved with the kids' life, teaches soccer, does all the parenting cliche stuff while Monica is like running her own restaurant or something down there. Because he
Yeah.
was never that in love with his job.
Yeah, he always seems to enjoy just kind of hanging out and being there. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And that's kind of where I was going. I think Chandler is still totally married with Monica. They're going good. They've got the twins. Life is good for them. And I think that I had him still doing advertising, but I can definitely see a world where Chandler's not in advertising. He's at stay-at-home dad with his kids, and they have Uncle Joey stop by every once in a while for God knows what happens. They have to keep it PG because there are kids around, but I can see that there's still some shenanigans in Chandler's life even 12 years later. And we kind of covered Monica, but anything more with Monica doing her own restaurant?
I almost want to say that she gets pregnant, like, because I know that it was an impossible, like, it was impossible for them to have a kid, but like, wouldn't it just be so sweet if she did get pregnant, like, just because she always wanted that, and so then to have like three children. And
Yeah.
like for her to finally be able to carry the kid, I think would be so great. But she's definitely running her own restaurant because she loves to be the boss. And I think she just really enjoys being a mom. And the daughter of the kids, what was her name? Erin or
Oh,
something, right?
yeah.
They name her after the mother who carried her. But I bet you that kid's fat.
Yeah, I there's gonna be one fat kid just because that kind of ties back into that history with with Monica.
They almost have like a Monica and Ross, and that would be funny that if they did a special of just like Monica and Chandler and their kids, if their kids turned out to be just like Ross and Monica,
Oh
because it's a boy
God.
and a girl, right? Like that would be so funny.
Oh yeah, and you kind of have that Ross and Monica, then you have another Monica and Chandler's outgunned.
Yeah.
Chandler's out of luck. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think that would be a nice little reward for the character all these years later that she did get pregnant and that she was that they have a family, that they're all still together, they're still all united, that thing that they always wanted, they finally have. I think they are the happy ending of the group for sure.
Oh yeah, they're kind of like the reason the show had to end because they were moving and they were the glue to the show.
Yeah.
So like they couldn't do it if they weren't living in that apartment.
Yeah, that those it was key that they lived in that apartment. Once life got too big, then it was time to end the show. And they ended it gracefully. The next character, the next I guess the next two characters, because they go hand in hand, is Ross and Rachel. Rachel and Ross. Are they still together? What's going on?
They're married because I don't think Rachel wants to get married. And I think that's proven from the first episode when she runs out on her wedding. And it's proven every single time that she backs out of a big relationship. So I definitely don't think they ever get married. But a part of me wants them to still be together, but a part of me knows that they're not. I'm torn. I don't know if they are.
I think they are together. I think they are together. They've raised Ben and Emma because I think Emma plays a big role in their because the whole reason that they still stay connected is because of
Their
Emma.
daughter,
Yeah.
yeah.
So I think that they are still because Ross can only go through so many divorces and so through so many kicks in the gut. So I think that the two of them are together. Ross is still a paleontologist, still into dinosaurs. And Rachel's still very much growing in the fashion world. I think there's some traveling, so there is some distance, so they have to kind of work and deal with that. But now my question to you, Emma, who's she more like, Ross or Rachel?
I feel like, well, you brought Ben into it, which I never even thought of because he's not even really in the last couple seasons. Like, Ross obviously talks about his son, but he's not seen, so I kind of forgot about him. And I almost feel like Ben, like, if Rachel had a hand in raising him a little bit more as, like, they got together, would turn out more like Rachel.
Yeah.
And Emma would turn out more like Ross, but she would have, like, the looks of Rachel. Like, she would look like Rachel's kid.
Yeah, I can see that. 'Cause you even see in that one episode where Rachel teaches Ben the pranks, practical
Yeah.
jokes. You can see that he's got a little bit more of a mischievous side that kind of fits more in lines with Rachel. And I totally agree. I think Emma has the looks of Rachel, but is definitely the kind of the Ross, kind of that scientist, kind of interested in that, because that's what Ross always wanted, a kid that's loves science and space, and Ross can go and take them to science conventions, and Ross behaves crazy because he's all excited about a convention, and I see storylines where Ross is is taking Emma to like a science convention and sees like a Bill Nye and fangirls, and Emma's like, what's going on? Like, you're embarrassing me.
Yeah.
So she sees stuff like that, but I see some positive things for both of them, and I think that their careers continue to grow. I do agree, you know, I will concede, I do think that they don't get married, because obviously Ross does not want another divorce on his books, because that just doesn't look good, and Rachel has proven that marriage may not just be for her.
Exactly. I never even thought of Ross's divorce aspect of it. He has had enough weddings that he does not need another one.
No.
And that one episode when they had to kind of play out their wedding at that rehearsal dinner for like whatever they're at, they're at some party, and they talk about their wedding. I think that's enough for them, that they got to play married for that one night, and that he talks about how he was going to propose to her.
Yeah, I think that's nice enough. And I think the characters are so now intertwined, especially with Emma, that they're going to be always relevant to each other's life. So, the next character, one of your favorite characters growing up, Phoebe, what is she doing 12 years later?
Well, we kind of joked, if we're thinking of the way where there won't be a reunion episode where there's like an actual TV, her and Paul Rudd are still married, but I agree with you that if they were to do an actual special, they couldn't be married because of the money it would cost to bring in Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
But in this fictional world, I do believe her and Mike are still together, and that they've had a shit ton of kids, and that they're just, like, traveling the world. They definitely don't settle down and live that kind of suburban life, because that's just not Phoebe.
Yeah, I think they do a lot of traveling. They do Smelly Cats, now traveled all across the world. And I think I can just see that being Phoebe being happy, just traveling with the kids, and you guarantee you that she had twins.
Oh, yeah.
So, kind of, it's a second chance for her and Ursula in a way, when her and Ursula just were never going to end up getting along, because Ursula was a little selfish, and she was a little, she's more concerned about herself. I think Phoebe, with these twins, would have made sure that they cared for each other, and made sure that they had each other's back. Especially if something happened. And I think Phoebe would have been able to let go of a lot of things that happened to her. And she's a happily traveling musician.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. And Mike was a musician too, right?
Yep.
So piano. I feel like they never have to stay in like fancy hotels or anything like that. Like, they're perfectly comfortable just being together, because Phoebe never had that. And Mike never had that as like kids, because Mike's parents were like rich and were that kind of family. So they never had that close family. So I think that's the most important thing, is that they're always together.
Yeah. I do think there's a part of me that does think that Phoebe would totally want that suburban lifestyle, because she never had it. And she'd want it, and she'd try it for a little bit, and it just wouldn't be her. And then they would start kind of traveling, because they would realize that this is something I always wanted, but it's not for me.
Well, something that you said a little bit earlier is that Phoebe, near the end of the series, kind of became her version of normal. So I think she would be doing her version of, like, the ordinary family, which wouldn't be ordinary at all, according to society, but to her, it would be normal. She'd be like, this makes total sense. Like, this is such a normal thing to do, for us to be, like, living in an RV and traveling the world.
Yeah, and not cooking meth.
Yeah.
She would be, yeah, it's definitely, and she would come back to visit, because obviously she'd still want to see the gang, because they're all more or less centralized in New York, so she would always come back to visit. I think that's traveling, she'd pop in, and then she'd disappear here and there. But I think the final character, and the reason he's the final character, is because he's left so undeveloped throughout the whole series. He's very much stays the same person, and I feel that he is the core of the group, and it's Joey Tribbiani. Where is he 12 years later? And we're scrapping the Joey show, because from everything I've understood on that show, and from what little I saw on it, he wasn't Joey Tribbiani. He was whiny, and he wasn't who he was on that show. So I'm gonna scrap that. It's not canon. Where is Joey 12 years later?
it's been a hard one, and it's been hard for me to actually like nail down and be like, this is what he would be doing, because a part of me wants to think that he got married and he had kids and he's living like next door to Chandler, because there's that one episode, there's a few episodes actually where he talks about wanting a wife and he wonders if he can like pull that kind of commitment and that he wants kids and stuff. But a part of me also thinks that he would never be okay with that life and that he would want to keep being a famous actor and that he would just never want to like settle down and be living in suburbia.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with you that there's definitely two sides to the Joey Tribbiani coin. That there's that one side that loves being Dr. Drake Remore and being able to pretend to send him have fans send him wine on his dates and to be able to have his pick of the litter of any woman he wants, Joey's gonna have. But I do think that he does finally meet someone that kind of just Joey's like, this is it. This is it for me. This is a person I want to spend the rest of my life with. And I don't think Joey necessarily lives that suburban lifestyle, but Joey definitely kind of goes, where I think he never gets married, but I think they live together, whoever this woman is, and they just kind of live together. They don't have kids, but Joey finds someone that he's finally comfortable staying committed to, and they just live together. Joey's going to travel because obviously his acting career is going to start moving up eventually. But he never gets married, never has kids, but he finds someone that he can kind of settle down with and be like, yeah, no, this is okay for me.
I agree, and I think the most important thing the characters is that they still get together among Chandler's for Thanksgiving dinner, and I think that every year that happens, no matter what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's the key is those Thanksgiving dinners when they're always together and the table gets bigger, but it's always the six of them together because when you're six friends and you've been hanging out for 10 plus years, well, 20 plus years now, including the years tacked on, it's going to be hard to kind of break that Christmas mold and that Thanksgiving mold of not being together. So yeah, that is a tradition that carries on.
Exactly. Well, because they are each other's family, and it's been from the first season when they all have Thanksgiving dinner and all this is grilled cheese sandwiches and like soup. I think it's proven that they will be each other's family, that they don't, Rachel couldn't go be with the Greens on Venice, but she got to be with them, and that proved that like they were finally a family.
Oh yeah, I think I totally agree. I think that they're like you just look at it, everything that they were through, pregnancies, breakups, fights, wearing all of Chandler's clothes, just everything that kind of happened, the big, fat ugly naked guy almost dying and them having to build a big pointy stick. Everything that kind of happened is just built that they are a cohesive unit of six people, and their kids are going to end up being cohesive units of where they're connected together. And Phoebe's kids may be a little weird, and Emma might be a little more sciencey, and Chandler's one kid's a practical joker like him, and all of them might. And what would be funny is if Phoebe's brother, one of the kids, the girl named Chandler, somehow ends up hanging out with that group and it screws with Chandler.
It'd be funny if she married like Chandler the girl,
Yeah.
if she married Chandler's boy. That would be such an interesting storyline
Oh yeah,
for him to have a daughter-in-law named Chandler.
and it would just throw Chandler for a loop. And it'd be great because the jokes would be endless. Now,
Oh yeah.
do you ever see a future where Joey's just living above, like in the
Joey
garage?
room?
Yeah, like with Chandler and Monica.
I don't. I feel like that would be so sad.
Yeah, if he got to, because you think about it, it's funny when you make jokes about it, but when you actually think about a person that lives with his best friend over the garage, it's not a great life.
No, I don't think so. I like the way you said it, But although a part of me wants him to have a big family because he grew up with a big family. So
Yeah.
like if he had like a bunch of kids with this woman, I don't, it makes sense for them not to have kids, so he's a hard character to pin down.
Yeah, and I think that's why we both agreed to save him for last, because he's that one character that you're like, where did he go? We all kind of had general ideas, and both our picks more or less kind of were the same for Chandler, Monica, Rachel, Ross, and Phoebe. Joey was that wild card, like you said. It's like, where Joey Tribbiani end up?
It is hard. And then, did you ever watch the show Episodes, which stars Matt LeBlanc as
Yep.
Matt LeBlanc? Yeah, I really like that. And I think it's kind of a tip to Joey that he actually really is Joey in real life, and that Matt LeBlanc is still just trying to be an actor, and that Joey was still just trying to be an actor.
And I think you kind of look at it and you kind of go, yeah, he was just when you look at both the person and the character that they played, there's a lot of similarities between the two. Like, I have heard that Rachel is a little more like Phoebe at times in real life.
Like the real, like Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
I definitely think that. And Lisa Kudrow, I've seen interviews with her, and she's kind of really rude and kind of like really stuck up. And I don't know if I consider her a Phoebe, but more of like a bossy Monica type, especially her character in Easy A. I think that's a lot more true to who Lisa Kudrow is.
Yeah, like you look at some of these characters, and you know Ross and David Schwimmer. I can see them being kind of similar. I can see I think Chandler was just Matthew Perry, but
Oh
turned up a
yeah. Well,
couple.
he used to write his own jokes, right?
Yeah, there were a few of the jokes that he'd come up with, and I think Matt LeBlanc is kind of like Joey, not as dumb as Joey was at times, because Joey, like I one of the most The best Joey moments is the red sweater when it's revealed who's the father, and it takes him a few seconds to clue in, and then his
Yes.
eyes go wide and he starts pointing. Or when Ross, one of my other favorite Joey moments is when Ross comes in and he's like, I had a very long conversation with a condom company and I found out that condoms were only like 96% effective, and Joey just pulls out a whole roll of condoms and is looking through. And he's like, "No, what?" And he kind of sees it, and he's very calm, and he's like, and he kind of laughs, and he's like, "Oh yeah, there it is, right there."
Oh no, he marches out. He's like, I got some calls to make.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's got and he's all panicked. Or whenever there's a pregnant woman, he's instantly like, "Who is it? Who called? What's going on?" And he's panicked and. Like, there's just so many of these characters. I think the biggest thing for this show, for me, is it's that show that you can turn on at any point. And it doesn't matter how your day's going, but it always kind of brightens your day a little bit watching certain episodes and certain moments. You know a joke's coming, yet you still laugh at it because you're like, this is still funny. Like, they're not dated jokes in any way, they're very much kind of relevant to that world that they're in. So that those jokes will always continue to be funny.
There are a few jokes where they make pop culture references that are very 90s, especially in the first season. They do it a lot. But like I've learned just from watching the show, I think I'm like, oh, I get that pop culture reference. But then if I make that joke in real life, people don't get it because it's like 12 years old.
Yeah.
But all the other jokes, I know exactly what you mean because I could be having a crappy day. I come home and it's like you get sucked into this fake world that's in New York
Yeah.
and you're totally immersed in it.
And you know, it just speaks volumes that there's so many people that want to see a big reunion, want to see where these characters are, because I think it's kind of like they were there for 10 years and now they're gone, and you're kind of like, well, where are you? I just want to talk to you for half an hour.
Why don't you call anymore?
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely one of those like, what, why aren't you around more? Like, come on, show up. Show up for Thanksgiving. I'd love a Thanksgiving episode.
Because those were always the best episodes.
Yeah.
Even the writer said that.
Like even when Joey shows up, when Monica puts the chicken on her head, the turkey, and then turns around and Joey's scared and runs away. Those are moments where you're like, yeah, these Thanksgiving episodes are pretty good.
It's, I think the best episodes, and that's why the Thanksgiving ones are so good, is when it's just the six of them in one room, and there can be a whole bunch of storylines going on in that one apartment. but they're not going like outside of the apartment. There's not a lot of the extra cast. Like there's one or two members, maybe Monica's parents, but it's just the six of them together in the apartment. Those are the best episodes.
Oh yeah. Like one of my favorite episodes is the bottle episode where no one's ready. And they're all scrambling to get ready, and Ross fights with Rachel, and Monica wants to know if she should call Rachel,
Richard.
Richard, and Phoebe's trying to fix her dress, and Joey and Chandler are fighting about the spot, and then that's an iconic moment when Joey has all of Chandler's clothes on, and it's like it's just a great episode, and it's the six of them, and it's set in two locations, in Joey and Chandler's apartment for little small bits, but mostly in Monica's apartment.
Do they actually show Joey and Chandler's apartment, or do they just go to it? I don't think they ever show inside it
I
for
don't
that
think they ever
episode.
show, so they stuck to one room, which is even more impressive. And you have six characters, which a lot of times, like, holy crap, you got six characters. But they managed to make it work, no problem.
Six characters with six different storylines in that one episode. Well, maybe not six. I think each character. Let's see, Monica has her own. Phoebe has her own. Give me a second. Ross and Rachel have one together. Ross, yeah, like six different storylines going on in one episode, but they just all come together for one moment when they're walking out of the apartment.
And I think that'll tie this up into a nice little friend's bow. This is a show that just you could talk about for hours.
Oh yeah, what you should do is you should invite me back to the show and we can talk about the difference between How I Met Your Mother and Friends.
I think this podcast is gonna do well enough that I think there'll be plenty more times where you'll pop on, and we'll have lots to talk about. There's a lot of TV, movies, comics, Civil War, stuff like that you'll be
Yes.
coming around, so you'll definitely be popping up. So thank you for coming on. This
Thank you for
was
having me.
a blast. So make sure you check out all the other Stick Boy podcasts. We talk a lot about wrestling, and there'll be plenty of wrestling podcasts. It's a busy time in the world of pro wrestling. There's going to be a lot of entertainment podcasts featuring Mackenzie, so make sure you stay tuned, because there'll always be more podcasts popping up, and there will be the How I Met Your Mother and Friends showdown at one point. So make sure you stay tuned, and have a fantastic day.